Today, on the Travel Guys.
Without anyone's permission. Yes. In the travel news, a Canadian airliner assists in a rescue at sea.
And we offer a final plea to purchase those holiday air tickets before the prices go literally sky high.
Our in-studio guest is Virgin America pilot and world traveler Henry Bernanke, and his, if history is any indicator, the next 50 minutes are going to be well worth listening to.
All that today with Mark and Tom right here on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man.
King of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Good thing the Giants aren't playing right now, or...
wouldn't be here.
No, this show would be not happening.
On tape.
Yeah.
We would just advise you that to tune to the emergency broadcast station. No.
I only say that because, you know, Mark is top one or two people I know in regards to biggest Giant fans of all time.
And what you maybe don't know is that Stan Musial's jersey hangs on the wall of my office above my desk. So when the Giants play the Cardinals, it's just difficult for me. But either way, I'm going to have a dog in the race no matter what happens.
There you go. And Henry, how about you? I'm flying out of San Francisco. You've got to, but then again, your family's from Colorado. So where do you go for your baseball?
My actually favorite teams, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, so the Phillies and the Red Sox and the Rangers are pretty much my three teams that I would follow.
Wow, he picked three losers right off the bat.
Exactly.
I always thought Henry was a pretty square-up guy, but none of those teams are still around.
No, those dogs are back in their dog house.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to spend the whole hour with Henry. Got a lot of questions from the mailbag to get to. But let's first get to what we always do at the beginning of the Travel Guys radio program. Let's check in with Mark Hoffman and find out what the world's going on in the travel news. Band, please.
Wow, that was pretty amazing. They queued right up.
There you go.
Usually and Mark, they're not paying attention at all.
I just waved
that
my hand.
That band of ours is just, you know... can't believe how we get them into the studio at 2:09 every week. Kind of a quiet day in the travel news today, but I did find a few little tidbits here. You may have already heard about this. This happened a couple, 3 days ago. The Air Canada flight that found a stranded Australian yacht. This guy, these people have flown across the ocean. They're nearing the end of a 14-hour flight, and the flight gets diverted because the pilot gets a call from the Australian Maritime Safety Authority and asks them to help search for a yachtsman who had sailed from Sydney 2 weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most phenomenal story. They had the extra fuel, and they were able to go down. They asked the passengers to look out the window. They went down from 37,000 feet to 4,000.
Wow.
And asked the passengers to look out the window, keep an eye out for the guy, and sure enough, within a few minutes, they had spotted the yacht and were able to identify his location and complete their flight, and the rescue was on its way.
Henry, how difficult would that be, being in an airliner, even you go down to 4,000 feet, to spot anything in the water?
Oh, with the movement of the water and the waves and the color, depending on the color of the yacht, typically white, but it was a broken mast as well.
Yeah.
So it's obviously not very big in size, because you would think... that with blending in with the water, the white caps and that, it's going to be extraordinary. It really is. For then to go down and have the passengers spot it, because you're cruising along at 37,000 feet at a certain speed. When you go down to 4,000, if you slow down to a certain speed, you have to put out your flaps.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what kind of speed he was going as well to slow it down so people could actually see around.
And it sounds like that they spotted the guy fairly quickly.
Yes.
Since they made a sweeping turn and people immediately spotted him in the ocean. I mean, it was this guy had been out in the ocean, Thomas, for what, 8-9 days, and he hadn't turned on his emergency beacon because he thought he could get back.
Wow.
And so he turns on the beacon, and literally within like 45 minutes, this Air Canada flight is over the top of him, and they have pinpointed the guys. But I'm just, when I'm reading this, Henry, I'm thinking about you being here today, and I'm thinking, wow, you're out in the, you're literally an hour from landing.
Yes.
In Australia, and suddenly you get this call on the radio that says, hey, go look for this guy. I mean, I guess if you had the fuel and...
You definitely coordinate it with your operations so that, because they're following you as well. So they don't want you to be diverted. They're going to be watching you on the map saying, why is this guy doing circles now?
Yeah, the story makes me think of the mining ship, the Nostradamus spaceship that was diverted to the planet where the aliens were. You remember that? You've got to be careful when you get diverted.
Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
No,
okay, well then let's just move on.
I'll explain later.
Crunch time is nearing for booking the best holiday airfares. Listen, I got ever-procrastinating Tom Romano off of his took us a couple of weeks ago and got him to book his Thanksgiving travel. So it's time for all of the rest of you.
Now you know.
To do the same. A quick look at airline fares this morning show that, indeed, a lot of favored routes. You're going to find yourself in it. You're going to Chicago now by way of New Orleans. And you're going to find some more circuitous things if you want to get any kind of a decent fare at all. Otherwise, you are just going to get goosed. So my recommendation to you is get on the horn and get your ticket for Thanksgiving and Christmas in the next couple
of
days.
2 weeks of waiting, and that's all it was, cost me $100 extra ticket.
Wow. Wow. It says Travelers has already started his last-minute meter. According to this gentleman from FareCompare.com, through Halloween, travelers can expect to pay $2 per day more per ticket in November. That figure will jump to $5 a day more per day, not per flight, for each day that you wait. So each day that you're waiting in October, he says, is costing you an average of $2 a ticket, and each day you wait in November is $5 a ticket. So wait a month, it could end up costing you a lot of money. Okay, quickly, an update on a couple of new attractions opening in the country. I know a lot of folks go to Fort Lauderdale to depart on cruise ships and oftentimes have some time there before their cruise ship departs. There is a new attraction. The 34,000-foot Eco Discovery Center is opening in November in Fort Lauderdale. It gives you an opportunity to ride on an Everglades airboat adventure, something you used to have to go out into the Everglades to do, and experience hurricane-force winds in the storm center. That sounds like kind of cool, like an interesting place, something that you might want to check out if you are headed to Orlando, the Eco Discovery Center. And from New York, the Statue of Liberty is going to reopen to the public next week after a year-long renovation. The date will be the 126th anniversary of its dedication. Entrance will be on a limited basis until the work is completed at the end of the year. And that's your travel news for today.
There you go. Thank you, Mark.
Coming up after the break, we have... You have been very good in sending us questions this week to ask Henry on our website at travelguysradio.com. You could still do that, and we would probably still get it in time to ask him that question, or we'll give you the opportunity to give us a call live during the third segment of the show. But when we come back from the break, we're going to ask Henry some of the questions that you have sent us online, and I just showed some of them to Henry before we went on the air, and I think these are some pretty good questions, Thomas, that our listeners have fired up here to ask Henry.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. We'll be right back. We are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
I have commandeered this radio station on behalf of the Travel Guys. And we shall...
We shall return.
We shall keep possession until 3 o'clock. Welcome, everyone, to the Travel Guys. Hope you're doing well. I hope you cleaned your drain gutters and have properly prepared for the rain. Do you do that kind of stuff, Mark?
I do not.
I didn't think so.
I think we have somebody who comes around to the triplex there and does that sort of stuff, because I'm never home to do that sort of stuff.
Henry, when the weather changes, is there a particular procedure that goes on with your aircrafts there? By the way, Henry Bernanke, he's with Virgin American Airlines. He's our travel guy pilot. And world explorer, too. But do they do anything special with the planes before,
I'd like to say thank you for inviting me back. Last time I was here, you were in hiatus because you were doing weddings for your daughter.
I was. It was wedding two. Yeah.
So wedding, that's amazing. So I'm surprised you're not out.
We've got both of the Romano sisters married, and we've gotten Aaron married, and we're all done with all of that now.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, you next, Henry.
Yeah, me next. I don't know about that. But thanks again for always... having me on, so I truly enjoy coming up.
The question was, as the weather changes, is there any special preparation that goes on for the aircraft?
For winter operations, we actually have to take a lot of tests, and when we do the de-icing and all that, we have a lot of things we're doing actually in the cockpit. So it seems like we're just waiting around getting this liquid sprayed on us. They call it type 1, 2, or 4 liquids. So you're going to take the snow off, then you're going to put the de-icing fluid on. So yes, it's a a lot of manuals you have to read and a lot of tests during the winter operations.
They test you every year on?
They do, believe it or not, and the test continues. They actually test us every 6 months, and you have to make sure they test you on your an oral, a written, and a practical, and then a medical. And if you don't pass any one of those, you're okay.
History.
Thanks.
All right. We are the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman. Tom Romano is here with us, along with Henry Vernacki. And Henry, we have gotten a number of questions, more than we can probably ever answer here. So, and since questions that are answered on the air are worth the prize, we need to get as many of these in as we can. So here's the first question for you. This comes from Jason in Elk Grove, whose mother sent in this question. Jason is 9 years old. Why did you become a pilot, and how old were you when you started flying?
I became a pilot so I could travel more and more and more. I figured it was a great way to see the world and the country.
You're like those frequent flyer guys last weekend in Chicago. It's just
unlike a lot of young boys, did you grow up with the fascination of flying and planes and such?
No, I did not, believe it or not. I grew up with a fascination with languages and parts of the world.
All right.
And that was enough of a driver to keep me going, although it was a lot of tests, and I still take them now. In the people out there in the world. So I think that was, and I was in my mid-20s when I began.
There's very few people, I think, that could say the reason I decided to become a pilot was because I wanted to travel the world, and this made the most sense.
It truly does now. I think at that time, while you're sleeping in a van going through flight school and have absolutely no money, because every penny you have actually goes to renting airplanes. And
Did you ever stay in one of those crash pads that they talk about that, you know, six or eight pilots... Regional
yes.
jet pilots share or something, because
yes.
they're all always coming and going. And
I also had to fly from West Coast to East Coast on an all-nighter, and then you go out and fly because you can't afford a lot of things. Because your first job in the regional airlines, people think pilots make a great amount of money, but it takes years and years to recoup that money you put into training.
Kind of like being a baseball umpire. Somebody told me one day, an airline pilot told me, it's comparable to being a baseball umpire. Lots of people aspire, lots of people try, but not very many get to the top tier where they really
yes.
get.
So what age did you actually start going to flight school?
25. Then?
Okay. So there you go, Jason.
Okay, yeah, that answers that one. You want to go do the next one?
How long did it take you for you to learn to fly an airplane, Henry, a big plane? And was it difficult? Asks Sonia from Camera Park.
Excellent question, because there's different levels. So the smaller planes, you get your private, your instrument, your commercial single, and a commercial multi. That'll take several years, and then you just go to ground school. Hopefully you can get hired to go to ground school with an airline, and they train you how to fly their airplanes, and that will take a few months. So to get to Virgin America, typically the gentlemen and ladies that fly at Virgin America have between 10 and 15 years of already flying.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just to get into the cockpit or to be a captain?
That's an excellent question, because it's all seniority based. And if you're growing as an airline, you get more airplanes, you get more pilots, and you move up the list. So Virgin America's upgrade now to be a captain is
I think we figured out, Tom, one of the reasons that Henry chose Virgin to go to work for, because, well, listen, if he's a new pilot, he doesn't want to get in behind. Look at these U.S. Air and America West pilots. Are they still fighting each other over seniority? I know the flight attendants are still fighting.
It really is. And it's the same. We don't have a union at Virgin America, but at other companies, they have another union, and those two companies actually had the same union, and they're still fighting each other about the seniority list.
Unbelievable. All right, next question. Here, this comes from Jonathan in Sacramento. He says, I was sitting on a plane, I think they call it a regional jet, and before we left from the cockpit, I hear, pull up, pull up. I'm sure it's some kind of warning system. I'm just wondering what it is and how it works. I have confessed I have heard this before too. Henry, what is he talking about?
Well, on the ground, they're doing checks before the first flight of the day. So he's saying he's on the ground before they left. So the cockpit crew, the captain and first officer are doing excellent checks. So that is a warning system if you get too close to the ground while you're flying. Let's say a mountain is right there and it says, whoop, whoop, pull up, terrain, terrain. So that's just doing a warning test. This is before they left. And another time you'll get it is when you switch runways, they'll clear you for a visual approach. In the staggered approaches in certain runways in certain airports, you're not going to change it in the computer. You already have the runway in sight. And if you don't change it in the computer, it's going to think you're landing on a different runway that you are landing on. And it's going to say you're too close to the ground. You have to pull up to make your landing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
So your staggered runways, you're not going to change it in the computer because you're below 1,000 feet. I'd rather have the person look outside than look their heads down in the computer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a runway, make the landing, and everything's normal. But you'll hear it sometimes on short final because the computer in the cockpit thinks you're landing on the wrong runway. And you're going to hit the ground, not the runway itself.
Wow.
Wow.
Fascinating. By the way, my correction, that should be Socha from Cameron Park.
Oh, okay.
Earlier. Okay, here's one from Sam, short for Samantha. I think everybody is interested in the answer to this one.
Yeah, this is a great
question. Do you, I'm not necessarily just you, Henry, but I suppose any pilot that you might know, do you ever lie to passengers about the reason for a delay?
Just look at passengers like they're your parents. Show them respect and don't lie.
Good.
So
excellent.
If something's wrong with the airplane or there's any kind of delay, I typically go out in the boarding area. If nobody's on board, I'll go out to the boarding area, make an announcement, make myself available if they have any questions. And if they're too shy to raise their hand and scream across something, then they'll raise their hand and I'll go over to them and I'll make the announcement.
Sure.
This is what the person asked.
But you know, that changes the whole atmosphere because Hawaiian Airlines pilots are notorious for, are famous for doing this, coming out, and especially their senior pilots. And coming out and just getting the PA system and saying, hey, good morning, we're flying to Hawaii today, and the weather's great, and you're going to have a wonderful time when you get there, and we're going to do a great job. And it just, it lifts the whole room up.
It really does.
So it really changes everybody's, everybody is way less, there's way less conflict and pushing and shoving and elbowing and stuff like that. It's pretty amazing.
And another thing is, when you keep people and you're communicating what's going on, you empower them to actually have information where they can make decisions on what they want to do, get something to drink and relax and talk to somebody else. Mm-hmm. If you don't feed this information to people, I think they just get more frustrated. So that in turn goes on if you're in the airplane, then they're going to, during the flight 5 hours, just build all that up because they're not letting it go.
And so one step further, have you ever heard you're flying and you're the co-pilot and the pilot gets on the PA system and... tells a little white lie.
At Virgin America, we're not encouraged to do that. We're encouraged to just, hey, this is what's going on. And I haven't really, I think it's explained differently than what I would explain it, but it's not really a lie. It's just explained differently. And I tend to look at the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid.
Stan in Sacramento wants to know, what's your most and least favorite airport for flying?
Most favorite, I would have to say Hong Kong. When I flew into Hong Kong, that was, it's just an approach that's really unique, or it was way back when, and they switched airports. But I think Hong Kong and anything that allows you to fly rather than a computer flying, they say there's the airport, you have it in sight, clear for the visual. And I think JFK is really unique as well. And airspace in general is LA airspace because there's so many airports. But I say Hong Kong and JFK is really nice to fly.
You prefer to land the plane yourself?
I think that's why we fly. And, you know, when I brief somebody I'm flying with, I always say, if you want to hand fly, use the autopilot, do what you want. Auto thrust on, auto thrust off. Fly how you want. Don't fly like you think I would like to fly.
Wow. Wow. Let's see if we can get one more in here, Tom.
One more. Okay. What advice do you have, Henry, for someone who has fear of flying? And this question comes from Adrian in Woodland.
I would definitely always request to talk to one of the pilots. It humanizes what we do. A lot of people think pilots are untouchable in terms of, I can't go up and talk to them. I would say go up and talk to them if you have any kind of fear. If you have a question.
During the flight, of course.
Before the flight. See the cockpit. See what we do. Ask questions. And I encourage that at Virgin America. Come up before the flight and after the flight. It actually shows what we're doing. And we are people, too. We want to go home to families.
Sure. I think that's a great advice. Everybody has questions, and, you know, particularly in regards to turbulence and stuff like that. So does that happen to you often?
Oh, yes, definitely. As soon as I make those announcements after the flight, kids will come up. They'll take photos. Even before somebody in flight, I always say if somebody wants to come up, let them come up, and we start talking.
Erin is here.
Hi, Erin. Hi, guys.
Hey, 24 minutes already?
Erin is, it's 2:30 already. We need to take a break. Henry Bernacki is our guest. I'm Mark Hoffman. Tom Romano is here with me. We are the Travel Guys. We're having a very interesting program, and we have all kinds of interesting stuff to talk about after the news with Erin.
Everybody sing along here. Yeah, you like this song, Henry? You recognize that? Did you know what that was?
Yes, I do like this song. It's
Steve Miller Band.
Yeah.
Big old
Jet Airliner.
Yep.
That's a little before Henry's time. He was probably about high to an airplane.
Classic, the classic hits of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
I have four older sisters, so I listen to their music.
All right, listen up, all of you contest folks out there. We're having a conversation with Henry Bernacki. Henry is a pilot for Virgin America, I almost said Virgin Atlantic, Virgin America airline. And Tom Romano is here with me, and we are going to, we've got a few more. What was that?
It was time passing.
Tom, since the two daughters got married, Henry, Tom has been kind of slipping away from us.
Time is passing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
His bank account was slipping after all those weddings.
We have some more questions here. If you would like to have two tickets to I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, which is at
Cosmopolitan Cabaret, just did their commercial.
They're very good.
2 days ago.
We have six pairs of tickets. You can call us at 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. We will give you a pair of tickets for the asking. If you have a question and you would like to talk to us on the air, then please tell the call screener and we'll do our best to get you on the air. But otherwise, we have the first six callers, 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530. You can have two tickets to the Cosmopolitan Cabaret to I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change.
You say that to me all the time, Mark.
I knew.
Now it's a show.
Somehow I knew that was coming. Hey, Thomas, here was a item I forgot off the...
Excuse me. I'm better now.
The travel news. a drunk flyer on a 50-day bender tried to open the emergency exit on a plane on a Delta flight from Boston to Utah.
Mm-hmm.
He had a few drinks during the flight, then went to sleep as the plane was landing. He woke up believing that the wing of the plane was on fire, freaked out, and opened the rear exit to the plane, causing, quote, extensive damage. Passengers tackled him to the ground and kept him restrained until he was arrested. His explanation, he said he'd been drunk for the past 50-plus days, stating, I never sobered up. So, unfortunately, we imagine there's no cocktail hour in prison, so his never-sober streak will be coming to an end about right now.
Wow, that's crazy stuff,
huh,
Henry?
Anything like that ever happened, Henry? Anybody, one of your airplanes ever jump? Of course, you'd be in the cockpit. You wouldn't know if any of this was going on.
We definitely have the information relayed to us by our in-flight. So people working back there.
The door's open. The back.
Yeah, they definitely call right away, and they're like, hey, somebody, it's a plug door.
How could you even open a door from in the back? You can't.
You
no.
can't. It's a plug door, so it has to be once on the ground, depressurized and everything.
So this was probably the plane that actually hit the ground and been depressurized and was probably in some process.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was able
and
to get it.
And then the slide
open.
Blows, and that's a lot of money. So he's getting charged for a lot of things.
Yeah, his life probably got a whole lot more. Being drunk was probably the least of his complications.
You want to get back to some questions. By the way, if you just happen to wander across this radio program on your dial, we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. Our guest is Henry Bernanke with Virgin America Airlines, and
we're quizzing the pilot.
Oh,
yeah, we asked you for a couple weeks to send us questions to ask Henry because this works real well. By the way, we're also giving away theater tickets at 921-1530, two tickets to the Cosmopolitan Cabaret to the first six callers. It looks like we're getting pretty close to that number now.
We're giving away tickets.
Yes, we are, and you don't have to do anything to get them. Not a thing. All you have to do is just call the radio station and keep listening to the radio show.
We are so easy.
All right, Henry, let's get back to the questions here. I think this is a pretty serious question. As a pilot, you have responsibility for a lot of people's lives each time you get into the cockpit. Leslie from Sacramento wants to know, do you ever think about that? Or do you ever think about 9/11 and worry that it could happen again?
We are trained to constantly be safe pilots. I think that's the best thing in the airplane is the pilots are always being trained to be safe, and they always, when you give it your check ride, they always say, would I put my family or my kids on this flight with this pilot? And once you can say yes to that, then I would say we're always thinking about somebody's family. You want to go home. So if somebody's, again, going back to the question, if somebody's afraid to fly, let them feel the humanization of what pilots are doing. So it's just not a computer doing it all. It's us, and we want to go home to family and loved ones as well. So I'm always thinking about that. These people are going from A to B, and they want to get there safely. So I take my flying pretty serious, and the people that trained me to be a really good pilot. And at Virgin America, we have wonderful training as well. And regards to 9/11, it's in the back of people's minds, I think, as pilots. And so we try to look at the passengers flying and see, because body mannerisms always tell a lot why you're sitting in the gate area.
Do any of the guys you fly with carry a gun?
Yes.
In the cockpit?
They're called the Federal Flight Deck Officers, FFDOs.
Okay. But I mean, any of the pilots?
Yes.
So you have guys, and there's like a lockbox or something like that that the gun has to go in or something.
Their only
like
jurisdiction is the cockpit. So once the cockpit door closes, they'll put it on their belt.
Oh, okay.
So during the flight, if somebody tries to break into the cockpit, there's going to be a lot of problems for that person.
I see. And Tom, he looked really confident when he said that.
He did. I'm feeling better all the time, I tell you.
I think that's a good idea. All right, we've got a few more here.
All right. Joseph in Rancho Cordova. Normally back in the days when you couldn't make it to school, you'd call the front office and say, my son is sick. How does a pilot call in sick, Henry?
We're not supposed to be sick. But if you do, you have a pilot sick bank that you build up through months and months and months, and if you are sick, you call the crew desk, and hopefully one of the in-flight, last time I flew, there was a flight attendant, the lead, she was sick, her name was Lovely, and she got sick, and she kept coughing on me. So
Lovely.
Yeah, exactly. No pun intended. But yes, so you called us.
You said you had this morning. You said before when you were departing from JFK this morning. By the way, Henry has flown all the way across country to be on this radio program today, and not only did he, after he flew across country, then he drove up here to Sacramento, and you had an issue this morning with one of your flight attendants right before departure.
It was, it happens quite a bit, more than most people think, but we get to the airplane, we leave the hotel, nothing said about somebody feeling bad. We get to the airplane, about to board, and one of the in-flight comes up, I don't feel very well.
It can have you, sure. I mean, people are people, and
yes,
we were talking about before we went on the air that, and everybody seems to agree that, you know, there's more likelihood of catching something in the close confines of an airplane and, you know, recycled air and so forth. So, and we were talking that the pilots and the flight attendants are all breathing that same air. So, you know, contracting something and you're flying all the time.
Exactly. And so she just, I wanted to communicate that she could get off the trip if she wanted. Mm-hmm. Tiffany was her name. But I wanted to know as quick as I could. So
we make up your mind quickly so we don't have to take a delay here on the ground.
Exactly. And I didn't want to force her to say, I want to fly, because then she could be more sick, especially if I plug in.
Well, that's kind of a, and this was a lady who had already come cross country.
Yes, we were together for 4 days. So the whole crew was together for 4 days. And so there was another person going back. She had just flown in on an all-nighter, so she was fatigued and tired. So we finally made a decision to get somebody from the hotel. But we only pushed back really 14 minutes late, and we arrived 11 minutes early.
Listen, here's one of our callers who is mooching theater tickets from us. Matthew asks, do you drink any energy drinks when you're flying?
No, I don't drink carbonation, energy drinks, or anything like that.
You there, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right. I didn't know they were going to put you on the air, but that's all right. That's cool.
Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I mean, I've flown quite a few times, and I know when I drive, I get tired. I drink a couple of energy drinks. I get really jittery, and I start swerving. So I wonder what you guys do when you get tired. You smack each other in the faces a couple times, and then
What do you do to make yourself alert? On long-distance trips across the ocean, you get breaks, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. So you have a 3- or 4-man crew, and you do take your sleeping breaks. But on a cross-country 6-hour flight, you only have 2 people in the cockpit. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people take coffee. I just have water, and you can have some tea. But I get enough rest in the conversation in the cockpit. We're paying attention. We have to navigate as well. So we're flying, and you stay awake. You really do. It's not very often that, and like today, I woke up at 2 o'clock a.m. my time, but it was 5 a.m. New York time, but I'm still wide awake. Even driving here, I was like wide awake, but I'm also talking to you both. So
you're also going to, after you have flown across country, driven up to Sacramento and spent an hour on the radio, you'll just crash and burn pretty much, because I know when I fly cross country and I walk into my office in the middle of the afternoon, the staff says, oh, hey, wow, you must be all ready to go. And it's like, no, I'm just completely brain dead. A couple more here, quick, Henry, before the break. What's the best part of your job?
I've always said the people, the constant newness of the people and the personalities that I come in contact with. Not only the people at Virgin America, but the passengers. I think it's just the personalities out there. They're wonderful. And since I enjoy writing about people and the conversations I have in fiction writing, though, but I include it all into that kind of atmosphere. So the people are always the best, I think.
Alma in Stockton wants to know, Henry, what is your dream route to fly?
The good thing is, this is my 6th airline, and I've constantly gone out to go get more experience from people that are now retired, and I've flown pretty much my dream route. I would like to fly to Antarctica. That would be kind of interesting. In my 4th company, they actually, I think, were starting that. They were trying to get proving runs for that. That would have been a nice one, but that would probably, if I had one, it would probably be down there, and
because he wants to see something he hasn't seen.
Exactly. Uh-huh. See that? Yeah, that's the reason
why. All right, one more quick question here before we have to go to the break. What's the best airport to eat in?
Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
And what was it that you eat there? That
I like Malay food. It's a combination of Indian, Malay, and Chinese. It's very unique. It's
very subjective.
And what makes the airport a good place to eat?
It's almost like you're eating in one of their jungles. Because it has tropical rainforest all around. It's beautiful, and the windows are gigantic, and you're looking at the rainforest.
All right, get domestic for a minute. What's your favorite U.S. airport to eat in?
Favorite U.S.
God,
airport.
He has to think about it for
I
a while.
Know.
Yeah, that's pretty bad news, isn't it? Well, there's Five Guys at Dulles.
Yes,
in your terminal.
That's right. There is. I tend not to eat at the airports because I want to go out and explore the city. That's probably why I really don't know. You ask some of the other people, I think they would know. But Five Guys is good hamburgers. I think it's overpriced, though.
Well, they're currently not an advertiser.
All right.
It may not be one soon.
It may not be soon. We've got one more segment to go with Henry. And when we come back from the break, I want to get just a little bit more personal and talk about last time you were here, you told us that your father was in need of a kidney transplant. And that has worked itself out in a most unusual way. And talk a little bit about some of the adventurous places maybe that you've been recently since the last time we talked or where we're going. We are the Travel Guys. This is
FM News. Go ahead. You did such a good job last time.
This is KFBK. Mr. Romano.
Yeah, my bags are packed.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Travel Guys.
By the way, Henry, what's your favorite airplane movie, pilot movie? There's lots of movies that depict airplanes and airports and flying. And have you latched on to anything that's like a special favorite for you?
You know, I really haven't. That's a great question. You would think I would. But you've asked me what's my favorite movie.
Henry's always out walking why he doesn't. All right, we got a caller on the phone here.
Yeah.
Are you done?
I don't know. What does that mean to me?
Let's talk to Doug in Sacramento. Doug has a quick question for Henry. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the Travel Guys. Henry's on the line. Henry's with you right now.
Okay. Hi, Henry. I talked with an INS agent one time, and he told me that on international flights that they do the checklist of passengers get screened through a criminal database.
Yes.
And so they know when that plane takes off from a foreign country headed for the United States, they already know if somebody on it has a hit on their crime database.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks for calling in, Doug. The gate agents, when you're talking international flights, they have most of that going on. So if it's a red flag passenger, they're probably going to stop that passenger even from boarding. But if it's somebody that has to come back to the U.S., if they're in a lot of trouble, they're going to bring that person back. But the Customs Immigration as well as the law enforcement will meet the plane. And we'll know that in route. But typically that we have a manifest, but we don't get the piece of paper that says he's in a lot of trouble. We just know somebody's going to be meeting the plane.
So generally that would be handled at the desk,
yes,
at the ticket counter, at the check-in desk. Or certainly at the gate.
And they'll say we have a special passenger that's going to be met. And then the closer we get to our destination, we're going to find out more. But at that time, unless it's somebody of security, they're not going to let them on unless they really wanted to come back in the U.S.
Have you ever had a dignitary or somebody extremely important ever fly with you that was a bit of a surprise as a passenger?
I think people from L.A. to JFK think everybody's important.
Yeah, touche.
I'm just kidding.
Henry, last time you were on, when Tom was off marrying one of the Romano girls in May, we talked about the fact that your father was ill and he was in need of a kidney transplant.
He's been waiting since October of last year. He started to have a kidney failure. And then my mother stepped up and said, okay, well, if I put my kidney up and out there, somebody's going to need that kidney of mine. And then my husband will.
That advances him on the list.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He'll put him to the top of the list because somebody gave their kidney for his name. And when they were doing tests for her to make sure she was healthy to give her kidney up, they found out they were actually a match.
Wow. What are the odds?
The doctor said a 1 in 14 million.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that? I mean, it's almost like those two people were supposed to be together, I'm guessing.
So exactly.
Did that just automatically just the match was there and then they moved it to
it took,
soon?
It took about 2 months it took.
Okay.
I was surprised it took that long, but they still had to do tests. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess it's for the insurance, so nobody's going to get in trouble. But at that time, those 2 months, it could have my dad's kidney could have gone in dialysis.
God, talk about for better or for worse. So how are they doing now?
Amazing. I talked to spoke to them about a week ago before I started this trip, 4 days ago, and they played 27 holes of golf. I mean,
awesome.
My mom was up and about in a day and a half. My dad had to go back and forth to the hospital. I took him for about 2 weeks. It was great. So I used a lot of time off just to spend some time with my dad and cook his meals and haul him around.
So you told me you were wandering around Central America, and we couldn't decide whether that was before or after the last time you were here. Where's your next adventure?
I would say the beginning of November is I have off to go traveling, and I will probably say South America or West Africa.
And again, Henry, you're planning on the same style of travel, a backpack with the bare minimum and no real place to stay when you get off the plane?
Exactly. The golden rule for me, travel light.
So it's for folks who haven't been with us before, Henry, because he's a pilot, he can do what's called jump seating, which means he can get that extra seat in the cockpit when it's available. And you've been known to just go to the airport and go wherever the jump seat takes you.
Exactly. I look at the departure board, and if one flight to Buenos Aires, Argentina, is full, then I'm going to go up to JFK and go over to Dakar, Senegal. It's that easy for me.
How many languages do you speak?
4.
And so Spanish, English?
French, and Mandarin Chinese.
Wow. Well, that's because you flew for a Chinese
airline China Airlines for quite as some well. Time.
Well, Henry, it has once again been a fascinating hour. It never seems like it's ever enough time, and we try to do something different this time. Why? By asking folks for questions. And gosh, this whole page of questions that I have here, and I could have filled another half a page that I kind of edited out because there was no way that we would have had time for all of that.
And I always encourage people, if they would like, they could probably get in touch with me through your website or mine. Is there if I say it?
Please.
TheGlobalHenry.com is, and that's if you have questions about aviation. I mentor right now about 3 to 4 people in aviation to how to get their rating. So if you have any questions about aviation or traveling, the Travel Guys website, or you can go to TheGlobalHenry.com.
And no spaces, all TheGlobalHenry.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you'll know, listeners, we ran across Henry somewhat randomly because Henry is an author. How is your book doing, Henry? Tell us a little bit about it.
It's doing really well. I write in fiction, but the geographical settings of the things, articles, and the novel I've written is very accurate. But the people are made up, and it's doing well. Thank you very much for asking.
So they're based on the places you went,
yes,
and the people you wish that you had met.
Exactly, exactly. Plausible deniability. That's why fiction is brilliant.
So more articles, books, etc., in the offing, or. What do you want to be when you grow up?
That's the thing. I'll tell a little kid if he comes up, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he's like, I want to be a pilot. And I'm like, we're not grown-ups up here. We take our job
no grown-ups
serious.
Allowed.
Exactly. But it's one of those things you have to live light in terms of enjoy what you do because you're always being tested. And so that could be a lot of hassle for a lot of people. But I would like to explore. I'd like to go learn more about the world. It feels like I'm just a novice after 120-plus countries.
One of my good friends says, enjoy each moment. They don't repeat. And I suspect that that's a philosophy that you probably buy into.
Yes, exactly. Every breath is anything more than a breath of air is a gift. So I take that very seriously.
I couldn't agree with you more, Henry. We are blessed to be in a business and do for a living what other people would love to be able to do, and it really isn't all about the money.
No.
It's all about the journey, and
exactly.
It's an incredible blessing to do what we do. Henry, thank you for coming in and spending time with us. We will do it again.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Yeah, Henry, absolute best to Mom and Dad. I'm so glad they're doing so well. And I want to remind folks, if you're ever flying out of San Francisco on Virgin American Airlines, why not ask the first person you run into as you enter the cabin if your pilot might be Henry?
Yeah,
well,
and
you.
Maybe if things go well, and the airport people are hibernating from us right now here in Sacramento, but at some point in time, maybe they tell me the Virgin idea of Virgin to Los Angeles is still not dead. So maybe one of these days, folks in Sacramento will have an opportunity to experience that. All right, we need to quickly tell folks we have 2 tickets. Sports Leisure Vacations has 2 tickets to see Bill Ingvall in Modesto at the Gallo Center next Sunday at 3 o'clock. 921-1530. The first caller, you have to be able to go next Sunday. You can either go with us and it'll include your lunch, or you can go on your own and just drive down and see the concert. But please, you need to be able to go next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
All righty. Make that call now.
Make that call now.
Next week, we're going to go revisit Chicago one more time.
We're going to talk to all those frequent flyer folks, Thomas, from that I met in Chicago last week. It will be a fascinating program. If you are a mileage hound or somebody who loves credit cards, miles, and points, don't miss the Travel Guys next weekend.
And remember, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Travel Guys, an hour a week is all we ask.
See you next Sunday.
Time. Yes, sir.